Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers, to today's episode celebrating Better Conversations Week.
It's a whole week.
It's a whole week.
It should be a year, whole life.
Lifetime.
Yes.
From a simple hello to profound late night conversations, communication is the thread that weaves us together.
Yes.
In this episode, we'll explore the significance of effective communication and its role in deepening our connections and enhancing our understanding of one another. So, whether you want to enhance your conversations, forge deeper connections, or become a more effective communicator, you're in the right place. Get ready to turn up the volume on how we talk, listen, and relate to one another.
This is going to be so good. I know we do say that every week, but but it's true every week. We're both passionate about this subject and about some of the things we're going to discuss today. And as I was listening to do that lead-in, I was thinking, it is about two-way communication, but it is also about how we are communicating, connecting with ourselves first. It starts with the messages we tell ourselves. It starts with the connection, awareness, and alignment we have with ourselves and our values. Then we can use that connection as a jumping-off point to meet others where they are.
Yeah. I love that. Start with yourself first, or take some of these things that we're talking about and apply them to how you communicate internally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Both and.
Yes. Effective communication involves clearly exchanging information, thoughts, feelings, and ideas, which helps build relationships. It encompasses more than verbal or written expression.
Yeah. 90% of all communication between human beings is nonverbal.
Yes. Do you know where that stat came from?
I don't.
We'll get into it as we discuss the key aspects of effective communication. I shared that stat, I think, when we did the episode before.
Exactly. There's so much more going on. If you think about nonverbal, then the energetic exchange, which is even deeper and more subtle, right? Sometimes.
Should be. All right. So one aspect of effective communication is clarity. Your message should be clear and straightforward to avoid misunderstandings. Y'all, we got to let go of the giant words when a simple word will do or a simple phrase will do, and also be specific so we can convey our intended messages effectively.
Also, effective communication, as you're explaining it, you have to know your listener. You have to be aware. You have to understand how they receive information to actually be effective, because we can change the wording, the nonverbal cues, if that will help transmit the message in the way that they are most likely to receive it, really internalize and digest it.
Yeah, right? I wrote that as adaptability being an aspect of clarity. So read the room, know who you're talking to, and as Karen said, adjust your communication style and approach based on who you're talking to. Tailor your message in real time as you're reading the room to enhance the reception of your message.
Input, output, gauging it all. I mean, you don't have to be OCD about it. You know, if you're talking to a bunch of six-year-olds, it's going to be different than if you're talking to your colleagues at work.
Right? I would hope. Oh, well.
Well.
Perhaps.
That may have been a poor example in the moment.
That was hilarious. Another aspect of effective communication is empathy. Empathy means understanding and recognizing how others feel. Empathy, I think we explored it a couple of episodes back, being like the cornerstone of our connections with people.
Yes.
When we practice empathy, we can better understand the emotions other people are experiencing, which helps us respond more thoughtfully during our conversations.
One hopes, yes. You could have empathy and also still screw it up.
Oh, goodness.
You'd be like, I hear what you're saying, but this is how I feel. I think that's truly an important piece.
Yeah. As we notice emotional cues like tone of voice and body language, when we are empathetic, we are more in tune with those, I feel.
Right. There's a fine line between taking that on and losing your perspective or your message, and just noticing and being empathetic and maybe altering your message in light of that. Communication, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. And Speaking of a lot going on, let's get into this nonverbal communication.
That was a great segue. Wasn't it, Explorers? That was awesome.
Yes. I should have looked up how to say this researcher's last name. I did not. So, Albert, I apologize with what I'm about to do with your last name. Albert Mehrabian,
okay,
is a prominent researcher in body language. He categorized the components of communication as being 55% derived from nonverbal cues such as gestures and facial expressions, 38% coming from vocal elements like tone, pitch, and inflection, and only 7% is conveyed through words. So that's where the 90% comes from. 55 Got plus it. 38 is 93.
Oh, yeah. It's tone, right? Tone delivery. Oh, interesting.
As my
but
grandmother.
Not as important as what the words you're actually saying.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother would say. It's not what you say, but how you say it.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And mine even, used to say that too. Right, it's not just how you say it, like your tone and pitch, but what your body is also saying.
Because if that's not aligned, if you're saying these words, but your tone is real, like, squeaky and tight, and your body's constricted, then you're probably not real happy in that moment. Yeah.
This 93% being nonverbal underscores the importance of being aware of our nonverbal signals. We have to pay more attention to how we approach conversations. Like, if someone's like, oh, we got to talk, and then you're already defensive, your arms are crossed, whatever. This has increase the likelihood of this conversation not going well.
And if you could see that and say, well, is there a better time? How about we do this in an hour? Or give me a time when it would be good for you and you're feeling up for this conversation. Give people the option. If you're reading like this is really not a good time, then it's probably not a good time and you're not really going to get anywhere. So put a pin in it, babe.
Do we just want to waste time or not? I don't know. Effective communication is vital in our everyday lives and relationships. Communication is the thread that weaves us all together and is the cornerstone of understanding and connection. Like, how would you know anything about anybody if you don't have a conversation? Like, how you make friends? How does one do that?
I don't know. Part of me wants to just try it nonverbally. Just be like,
and now we're friends.
Just give him a little nod. Be like, shake the head. Yeah.
We're friends now. I mean, that's what I did with some of my nephews. We're friends now. You don't have to say anything to me, but we're friends now.
I love that.
Effective communication builds trust.
God, we were just talking about trust. None of the communication can be effective and honest and true and vulnerable if there's not the trust.
When people are transparent about their thoughts, feelings, and intentions, it's laying a strong foundation for our relationships.
Like, why do people feel like they need to hide behind a veneer of power or strength or have to be right? Let's all just lay it bare, be vulnerable as hell, and see what happens.
I think part of that is conditioning.
For sure. But that's all I want to say. Let's sit down for a minute.
Let's just be
no,
real.
No, I don't want to take that mask off. Oh, there's another mask for that. Take that one off too. Oh, and there's a rubber suit. Let's
Nesting
take off
dolls.
The rubber suit. Yeah.
In a trustworthy environment, people are likelier to share vulnerable thoughts, knowing that their expressions won't be dismissed or judged.
Trust creates a sense of safety, right? And it's only when people feel safe that they will share something that's vulnerable. Absolutely.
Yeah. Effective communication also enhances our relationships. Effective communication nurtures and encourages empathy by allowing us to see things from someone else's perspective.
The beauty of human beings, as I see it, we are all so unique and diverse. And that is not something to stress about or be disconnected over. That is an amazing opportunity to learn about yourself and learn about others and just open yourself up to worlds of understanding.
I'm going to stop there. As we have built trust and enhanced our relationships, we are allowing our relationships to become more resilient because we feel valued, respected, and understood. Which leads to another benefit of effective communication, which is that it promotes emotional well-being. The simple act, as I say simple, it's not really simple, of expressing your thoughts and emotions can significantly alleviate feelings of stress and anxiety.
Read that again.
The act of expressing thoughts and emotions can significantly alleviate feelings of stress and anxiety.
Catch that, explorers. By having one person that you can trust, that you can say the things to, that's going to start the healing. There's something significant in that, in popping the cork off that.
Yeah. And being able to discuss our experiences with those trusted people also fosters a sense of belonging.
Which, as we know, is a major necessity in the hierarchy of need. Feeling connected to a community of people and then taking that one step further, doing something for someone else in that community gives you that sort of really beautiful sense of purpose and well-being.
Yeah. And I know when I share things that I'm going through, sometimes in talking through it, I get a new insight or perspective that I would not have gotten if I was just in my own head.
Just spinning on the carousel. Yeah.
Yes. Just speaking it out loud. And then my friends are able to help me, like, let's cope with this a little bit differently or suggest ways to help process some of those big emotions.
You know how many times you've done that for me?
Not keeping score.
Sometimes I'll just load into it. Sometimes I'll say, do you have a minute or 30? It's so helpful to be able to speak the words. Because even if you don't understand the big feelings or why you're having that reaction, the more you share and put words to it, clarity comes, answers come, interesting connections and correlations come. And then you have that other trusted person's perspective, the voice of reason, perhaps, a lot of beautiful ahas and things that you wouldn't have otherwise come to so quickly anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. I wanted us to touch on active listening. That's a little bit. Yes. And I actually went back and was like, what episode did we actually do this? In episode 7 of Your Odyssey podcast.
Wow, that was all the way back to 7.
I know. The gift of active listening, building trust and connection. Karen and I explored this concept a little bit deeper than we're going to do right now. But
it's a good one, y'all. Go back.
Yeah, episode 7.
Number 7. Lucky
episode 7. From that episode, I brought back where the term even came from. And it is psychologists Carl Rogers and Richard Farson defined the concept of active listening in 1987. For Rogers, the ultimate goal of active listening was to foster positive change.
I love that. The ultimate goal of active listening is to foster positive change.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating an environment for that person to share their whatevers. And you're either mirroring it back, you're asking questions about it, you're not trying to solve anything, you're being supportive and empathic. Sometimes you don't have to say a dang thing, right? You're just listening.
Yeah.
My friend, the other night, we were on the phone, and I was clearly having some feelings about some things. The response that came after I said what I was thinking about was, do you want my support or do you want a response? And I thought for a second, I was like, well, actually, I want both, but I want the support first. I just want you to listen. And then if it warrants it, you know, then share a response or your wisdom or insights or your perspective. But that first piece, having somebody just be there to just openly listen and empathize and be like, yeah, that really does. Yeah, that sucks. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So how? I pulled out three things for active listening. The first being practice mindfulness.
Gotta be in the moment. It's gotta be present,
absolutely
sister.
Absolutely a requirement to give attention to this, minimize distractions, and genuinely engage with what they're saying. Being in the moment helps us absorb the information and respond more thoughtfully. So just by asking that question, grounded them in that moment. Like, okay, what is my role here?
Right. Perhaps that was their way of getting present. So they didn't just sort of run away train with it.
The phrase that I've heard recently, I don't remember where I saw it or where I heard it, but someone said in response to someone's like, that's not the support I need from you right now. Like,
wow.
Okay. I wish that's not what I need from you right now. And standing firm. I remember where it was. Shout out to my wonderful massage therapist. She's amazing.
I love that. That's not the support I need from you right now. Being clear as the speaker about what you need from your listener, from this person who loves you, who you trust, it just helps us be better at it, right? If I know that what you need for me is XYZ, then okay, distractions are going off, which is tricky for an ADHDer. I got to put it all away and I just got to be really focused and really open my ears and really pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another component is to reflect and summarize. So after the speaker has finished, take a moment to reflect on what they said. Active listening involves hearing the words and comprehending or processing the information.
And the subtext. All the things that aren't necessarily even said, but that all sort of come together in that. Yeah. Being able to distill the truth and the matter through all of those means. Yeah. Listening to the words, feeling the energy of it, sensing what they might need or how it could be real fragile or they could be really frustrated and upset, just sensing.
I've seen that modeled as what I heard you say was.
Yes. What I heard you say was, let me see if I heard this right. Let me mirror this back to you. Right. And that gives the person the time to be like, no, that's funny. That's how that came across. That's not what I meant.
That's not right.
And then you can recalibrate and switch gears.
And then the final component that I wanted to call out was to ask open-ended questions.
Oh, you are the queen of this.
Active listening goes beyond passive hearing.
What? Active listening goes beyond passive hearing. 1000%. But I love how you use active and passive and listening and hearing and the juxtaposition of those two phrases. I love it so much.
It involves engaging with the content that was shared. After the speaker shares their thought, ask an open-ended question. Asking those questions prompts the speaker to provide more detailed responses, which enhances our connection.
Right. And it enhances their connection to themselves and the issue, right? And the trigger or whatever
it
is.
Ask all the time.
So how are we going to do that? Why do you think you need that every time?
Or, you tell me what was happening when you said?
Have you considered?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So we've gotten the why of effective communication. We've gotten a little bit of how. Karen?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you ready to navigate the turbulent waters of difficult conversations?
I am so ready. I will tell you that today with the organization I work for, we had a people map session. So people map, like Myers-Briggs and DISC and all the other things, right? It's a way to understand your personality types, what you need in a transaction at work and what the other person may need based on their type. We talked about conflict and difficult conversations. So I am
ready. So you are absolutely ready.
I am literally primed and ready.
Several years ago, I took a course through work based on the book Crucial Conversations, Tools for Talking When Stakes Are High. It included practical tools and techniques to help us navigate and apply these principles in real life situations. I want to do like a challenge and then strategies for how we stay calm and respectful. So common challenge is emotional reactions. Strong emotional reactions can significantly impact communication dynamics.
I mean, it real stops true communication right in its path.
A recent sermon, a guest pastor said that when emotion is high, logic is low.
Yeah. When the, what is it? The amygdala is.
Yeah. When it's activated.
When it's running the show.
We're going primal. Yeah. Not even making sense. So when anger and frustration and defensiveness arise, this can lead to misinterpretations and can oftentimes escalate the conflict rather than foster constructive dialogue.
There's defensiveness, there's blame, there's excuses, there's all kinds of things. Triggers, there's triggers.
Goodness.
Because you know when there's an emotional reaction to something that's intense, it's actually not about what y'all are talking about in that moment. It's not about you at all. Likely it's about what's happening within them and their story.
Which absolutely.
And then that's where the empathy piece comes in, if you cannot want to throttle them. Also,
you can contain yourself in that moment. So how do we navigate this challenge?
You have to insert the pause. Somebody's got to be the voice of reason to be like, well, I can see you're feeling big feelings about this. How about we take a few minutes to process, digest, calm down, and then we come back in a half an hour, a day, whatever it is, and talk through it.
Nail on the head.
I actually thought you were asking me.
No, so, but I did.
Was that rhetorical?
Well, maybe that's what we're going to do. So let's see if we keep this train going. Oh. Another common challenge is fear of conflict. The fear of conflict often stems from various concerns, such as the desire to maintain harmony in relationships or worrying about how others might react. People may fear bringing up sensitive topics that could lead to resentment or even relationship breakdown. So how would one navigate this challenge?
It's so interesting because that's the people type in the people map. Days like people like you're overly concerned with how other people are feeling. You don't want to make waves, maybe a bit of a nurturer and maybe even codependent. helps solidify your identity as a helper. I'm going to ask you to.
Oh, you want me to tag? One way we can do this is by working on our communication skills, bring some of those active listening techniques in, being open to feedback. Y'all, we can foster an environment where diverse opinions are valued, which can help reduce anxiety around difficult conversations.
And I find that people who, I'm including myself in this,
we
everybody,
the people.
The people who grew up feeling like there was going to be trouble if you opened your mouth or if you disagreed or if you stated a point of view that was not popular, it goes back to the primal, like, you're out of the tribe. You're out in the, you know, leopard's going to come and get you first.
Because we're sitting you outside. You are not protected
anymore. So there's that. And then there's maybe familial or cultural history. And I was definitely one of those. I thought that all conflict was bad, that disagreement was bad. It was very unsettling to my nervous system. There is a way to open up that dialogue. Conflict and debate and confrontation, it's not a bad thing. All relationships need it, right?
Conflict is good.
Yeah.
What is it? If your relationship is just humming along smoothly, somebody's lying.
Yep.
Somebody is lying. And then another challenge is filters and biases. Communication challenges stemming from filters and biases can significantly impact our interpersonal interactions. When we engage in conversations, our experiences shape how we perceive information. Two people can hear the same message but interpret it differently based on their backgrounds, beliefs, and emotions.
Yeah, again, 1,000%. Active listening, that's where this comes in. And actively noticing how you are processing the information that comes in. Am I experiencing this through that childhood filter or this previous relationship filter or this other work experience that was unhealthy filter?
Yeah.
Or what am I bringing to this? And can I get present and can I actively participate in this conversation without bringing forward any of those biases?
Part of that comes with being aware. So as you said at the beginning of the episode, knowing yourself first, how you communicate, how you receive information, your preferred communication style, like it starts with you.
Absolutely.
All right.
All wellness starts with you.
Yes. I love that.
We are responsible for our wellness.
This journey to better conversations or effective communication involves transforming our challenges into constructive discussions, which allow us to connect on a deeper level and foster healthier relationships.
Yeah, and that idea of the idea of being curious. If I'm coming to you with something, I don't want your reaction to be defensive or getting angry. I want you to wonder why I feel that or why I think that or why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me and you arm wrestling. It's about, can we just talk about how we both perceive it, how we both feel about it, how we might do it better in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That just seems like a great transition to today's song.
Oh, oh, yes.
You ready? Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I am almost now, soon, since you said it. I wasn't ready to jump off the conversation.
Oh, you want to keep going?
No, no, no. We're good. All right. I mean, I do love it.
Yes, we will do more. I mean, Better Conversations Week comes around once a year, so we'll revisit it. I've already started my 2025 note for that episode.
Of course you have. Don't we love her? Don't we love her, people?
This song, I feel, beautifully captures the essence of open dialogue.
Mm.
The song is Say by John Mayer.
Let's dance.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
Oh my goodness, that song.
Mm-hmm.
I love how repetitive that chorus is and how simple. Say what you need to say. It's taken me a long time to get here and to give myself permission and to feel safe.
Even if your hands are shaken and your faith is broken.
Say what you need to say with a wide open heart.
Mm-hmm.
If the people that you are speaking to cannot understand or digest or support, you still you have to say it. Like, you have to say it. That means there's something that's not working in that relationship. And it's just giving yourself permission.
So thank you, John Mayer.
Thank you, John Mayer.
Thank you for that. Okay.
Mm.
After our song, it's time for our question of the day.
Ooh.
Day's question. What impact does technology have on the quality of our face-to-face conversations today? Well,
this sounds like I feel like I'm gonna sound like such an old person. Well, I know, I can hear it already.
It's ruining everything.
I can already hear it.
Okay, so not to be completely negative, technology has positively and negatively impacted the quality of our face-to-face conversations.
As most invention,
good and bad,
as it does, industrial.
On the positive side, it allows us to stay connected with people over long distances, which facilitates conversations that might not otherwise happen. Mm. Video calls and messaging apps enable real-time communication, making it easier to maintain relationships despite geographical barriers.
I do love that that can be sort of a touchstone. It's definitely not a replacement for an actual phone conversation, or better yet, in person. But you can't logistically be by the people that you love and have relationships with, and you want to still nurture it.
Yeah.
So to throw somebody a little text that says, hey, thanks for always blah, 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 really means a lot to me. Sending out little blips of little sun drops of love is a beautiful thing. I have to say, the more I'm using it, especially in certain relationships, the more I detest texting for a lot of reasons, because you can't, there's the cues, the nonverbal cues, the way it comes across, and there's not that nuance, but it is a great tool.
Yes, it is a great tool. So, however great this tool is, technology can also hinder our face-to-face interactions by creating distractions.
Yeah.
Our smartphones lead to divided attention, and we're constantly checking notifications instead of fully engaging in our conversations, which diminishes the quality of our dialogue and reduces the emotional connection.
Guilty, a little bit guilty of that. I'm just going to fess up. Guilty.
Yeah. And it's like you just said, our reliance on digital communication can contribute to our inability to read nonverbal cues.
Yeah, it kind of sterilizes something, some aspect of it.
I mean, it's a blessing, it's a curse, it's good, it's bad. It's just in how we use the tool. So use it.
It's like the moderation.
Yeah, use it to supplement, not replace, or to augment, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It concerns me when I see certain age groups having just that kind of communication and not having the face-to-face, or not being in the room with their friends and they're all texting.
Yes.
I'm like, why
everyone's gone.
Are you not talking to each other? That flips me out.
Effective communication enriches our relationships and deepens our understanding of one another. This Ooh. Quote is from Ralph Waldo. Why am I messing up his name? Ralph Waldo Emerson. Okay. And he said, there is a difference between truly listening and waiting for your turn to talk.
Oh, yeah. I love that quote. I've heard that before. Are you actually actively listening? Or are you thinking about your example of this or how that affects your life or what you thought of when they said that thing?
As you go about your week, challenge yourself to practice this mindset. Try to prioritize understanding in your conversations, be it with friends or family or colleagues. You might be surprised by the depth and connection that can emerge when you listen.
When you're present and you listen without judgment as best you can.
As best you can.
And without taking it personally. Please don't take it personally.
Explorers, we're glad you joined us on this journey toward better conversations. We can't wait to hear how these insights have impacted your daily interactions. Until next time, keep listening, keep connecting, and keep growing.
We love having these conversations with each other and with you, dear explorers. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here. Take good care. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.